and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you found your way to this worshiping community. And one of the ways you can learn more about how we are church together is to check out your bulletin. There are worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship today to receive any questions that you might have. We have just a few announcements today. First, if you are in the Earth Day celebration mode, our celebration of Earth Day continues next weekend with a few opportunities. We'll hear about one in just a moment. But for worship next Sunday, we are shaking things up for Fusion Sunday. We will be learning and we will be worshiping and serving together in a very different kind of way. We will meet here in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. Please come dressed, ready to be outside at some point and to play in the dirt. And for those who would prefer not to play in the dirt, don't worry, we aren't going to make you. There will also be indoor opportunities as well. But please join us for this intergenerational Earth Day worship, serving, and learning opportunity. All right, we've got one more. Tell us what we're doing next.
Good morning. My name is Michael Hasenloff, and our annual spring cleanup is just 6 days away. We'll be starting around 8:30 a.m. Saturday, April 29th. You can come for an hour or all morning. Refreshments will be served. We're going to have coffee, juice, and donuts. We have tests for all ages. And if you have any questions, you can contact Roger Best, Marty Oman, myself, or any other trustee. If Saturday still doesn't work for you and you still want to help, and let us know, and there are tests that can be done beforehand at your convenience.
Thank you. Lots of opportunities to be outside and caring for the earth next weekend. Now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Thank you. stand as you are able for the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Sing a new song.
A springtime shout out to new life.
Sing praise to our joyful Easter God. Immerse doubt and despair in the fountain of new birth.
Our visions and hopes are refreshed, made new.
For God has taken ordinary things and made them extraordinary. Sing a new song.
Bringing all that we are to God and to one another. We bring our joy, we bring our despair, we bring our doubts, and we bring our brokenness. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. Redeeming God, with you there is always more life, more hope, more joy. Forgive us when doubt assails us and we fail to recognize you at work in our lives. Forgive us when fear impairs our faith, and our eyes and our ears and hearts do not know you. Forgive us when anger and sorrow stop us from doing the risky work of love. Within every kernel of doubt, there is a tree of life and hope. In those times when our faith falters, when we cannot bring ourselves to see the presence of the Holy among us, God takes our faith and transforms it, patiently showing us the many ways Christ walks among us. Look around you. As close as your own beating heart and in the eyes of your nearest neighbor, grace abounds at the heart of all life. We are all God's children, loved without conditions, and always forgiven. At this time, the children are invited to come forward. Good morning. We are going to sit right here, and I'm going to introduce you to my friend, Mrs. Mancini. Good morning. Good morning. Do you guys want to come? We're going to... Friends, I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Mrs. Mancini. She is going to share our children's time this morning. I'm going to grab the microphone for her. Ready? Not going to step on you. I'm going to do my best. Good morning. How are you? If you'd like to come sit up here, you can. Here we go.
Now, if I got my real voice on, I probably wouldn't need one of these. My name is Mrs. Mancini, as Melissa said, but the kids in my neighborhood call me Mrs. M. Lots of kids in my neighborhood, just like here. I want to tell you a little story about peace. Does anyone here know what the word peace means? Anybody? Do you know the sign for peace? This? How many of you can do this? Do this. Good. When Jesus was talking to some of his disciples, he said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, that is something that we all need to remember about peace, but lots of us don't really know at your age what that means. Have you ever been in your house? The TV is blaring, the phone is ringing, the kids are fighting, the dog is barking, and someone is at the back door. Anybody sound familiar? If someone all of a sudden says, "I want peace and quiet."
Never.
That's one way for peace. Now, I have to tell you that what Jesus said, "Let there be peace with you," in our church, in the church that I go to in Florida, we say that as part of our service. We get up and we go to the neighbor next to us, shake their hand, and say, "Peace be with you." Our answer is, "And also with you." Can any of you say, "Also with you"? Okay, I'm going to say, "Peace be with you." And what do you say back? Thank you. You did a good job. Now, what I want you to do is take that word peace, take it home with you, take it to school with you, take it to the playground with you, and if someone's doing something wrong to you that you really want to get mad, you want to maybe slug them, let's not do that. Let's just remember the word peace and think, and just quietly don't react. So can each of you bring peace to your house, within your room of your house, out on the playground, and in school? Yes? Is it your brother? He what? He's a human shield. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I am so glad to hear that, because he is maybe someone who is going to bring peace to you and your brothers when you're fighting with his human shield. Do you think he could? Sure he can. Can we have a quick prayer before we go back to our chairs? Would you say with me, "Dear Jesus, will you help me bring peace to my family, to my school, and wherever I'm with other people." Amen. Thank you. You may go to Sunday school.
You guys have fun.
Our first reading today comes from Psalm 16. "Protect me, O God,
For in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. And as for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out. Behold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night, and also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Thank you.
second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. It's been years since the washcloth incident, but Heidi Newmark's regret is still fresh. Heidi is an author and a pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in New York City, and in an article she wrote about when her mother moved in with her and her husband and her son. She talks about her mother's advanced stage Parkinson's disease and how she could no longer live alone. And they wanted her to stay with her family as long as possible. So in a very familiar story, they managed to juggle their schedules and the needs of an aging parent. They sold her house and used the income to pay for additional help. And Heidi found a lot of comfort in the fact that her mother knew who they were right up until the moment she died. But despite that comfort, she can't forget the washcloth. And Heidi tells this story that is so familiar to all of us who have been or are caregivers. You see, the day had not begun well. She had made the mistake of checking email before praying, and thus began the morning with an angry message from someone who had been excluded from a church email. And instead of drinking coffee, She was cleaning up the spilled urine that would not have spilled if she had emptied the commode the previous night instead of letting it wait until the morning when the liquid sloshed over the top. Now, I personally don't know how she managed to do any of these things before two cups of coffee and a shower, which are my requirements. There's actually rules in place in my house about talking to me before such things have taken place. But finally, Heidi retreated to the third floor where her bedroom and bathroom were to shower. And refreshed, ready to start the day, she remarked about the cleanliness of herself and the floor and kinda sorta the email. But her mother was another matter. And I know there are lots of folks who struggle to get aging parents to wash, but apparently Heidi's mother was not one of those. And her mom just made a very simple request. A washcloth, which was back up on the third floor. It was a reasonable request. But Heidi was already running late. It had been a difficult morning. And she responded, as I do sometimes when I'm running out the door, and a not-so-tiny one who most definitely knows how to tie her shoes looks up at me with those big blue eyes. Mom, will you tie them for me today? It's just that additional task that sets off that irrational and misplaced anger that we just seem to be helpless to. And we know that when a friend makes such a confession about that kind of anger, we're quick to offer absolution for them because we've all been there before. We say we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves. We're just trying to do the best we can in those moments and circumstances. And there are many of those forgotten moments of forgiveness. But then there are the ones that we hang on to. Like a washcloth. Shoelaces. Years have gone by for Heidi, and she can't access that word of peace. The tears still sting and slosh over her pail of remorse. And she knows that if she could, her mother would grab that pail and just toss it out the window. She would forgive her daughter. In fact, Heidi believes that she has forgiven her, but in a way, makes it all the harder, knowing of her unfailing love and grace makes her feel worse about the failure. And of course, Heidi envisions her at her very best, now in heaven, as she is known and seeing her with the eyes of God, and Heidi is remembering herself in one of her lowest moments. What about God's forgiveness? God is always in a best moment and ever aware of our worst. Does that divine forgiveness erase our regret or increase it? Thinking back to Jesus' first words to the disciples on the other side of the locked door. Peace. Can we imagine ourselves in that room, staring at his wounds, accepting the resurrection miracle? Might we imagine embracing the improbable, exciting mission commended to us in the words that follow? But peace seems to be another story. Once Thomas placed his fingers in the holes of Jesus' hands and reached out to touch his side, what does Thomas remember? Does he remember his own willingness to join their friends Lazarus back Many days ago in his death, did he flash back to the confusion of not knowing where Jesus was going and struggling to see the way? In days after Jesus' resurrection appearance to Thomas, he joined them on the beach for a meal. Did Thomas then feel that sting of regret, wishing he could take back his questions of doubt from the other day? And of course, there's another disciple we wonder about, who we will hear about in the upcoming weeks, who had similar questions. After Jesus called Peter to feed his sheep, did Peter ever think back on that day around the charcoal fire when he denied the one he dearly loved? Did Peter remember when Jesus yelled at him and called him terrible names? How about when Peter stands to preach on Pentecost? So many who were baptized. Did Peter go back home and lie awake, wishing he could just take back his actions? And then the thoughts and the feelings of all the rest of the disciples gathered together in that room. According to the psalm, we know that God gives us forgiveness. God does not give us over to these places of darkness, and our transgressions are removed. But if we accept that to be true, then it seems regret shouldn't linger. But in my experience, forgiveness does not always erase regret. Not yet, anyway. These post-Easter days suggest that if our minds and hearts are not yet in sync with what should be, with sin removed to a distance far beyond our reach, perhaps, Heidi suggests that maybe mere inches matter. We might envision regret like that giant stone that sits in front of the tomb. That stone is rolled aside, but not away. It's still there, inches from the entrance. But it's not blocking anyone's resurrection. The stone that's rolled aside allows for feeding sheep and baptisms and hopeful love and relationships of every kind. Last week we read Matthew's gospel and about the Easter angel who does not make that stone magically appear, but simply rolls it back, sits on it, and keeps it from getting in our way. It's still there, heavy as a regretful heart can be, but it's not blocking anyone's way forward. We find some comfort in noticing that Easter seems to have come in inches for the disciples as well. A week after that first word of peace, they are back behind the same closed doors. It seems that they have barely moved at all. But there's nothing solid to hinder them, and soon they will head. After her own weeks of years, Heidi says that she is not in the same place. She still hasn't left the washcloth behind with the old grave clothes either. But she hopes to. Perhaps there is a day where I can leave the shoelaces and you can leave whatever stones of regret you are hanging on to. And we all can inch our way forward into the light of Easter. And this year, perhaps, When we pause to consider that familiar stone or washcloth or shoelace, our eyes will be drawn instead to the bright robes of the angel who keeps the stone in its place. And the resurrection will continue to inch forward in all our lives, on this day and always. Alleluia. Let us know who you are. Hold that microphone close so we indeed can hear you. Any prayers today? Got one up here.
Good morning. Nancy Olson from Plattsburgh, New York, and belonged to this church in the previous century. But I'd like... prayers of healing for Joanne and also for my next door neighbor in Gates who just been diagnosed with ALS. Thank you.
And welcome back, Nancy. It's always good to have you. Any other prayers today?
Hello, Switzer. Just ask for prayers for one of my best friends. His brother was diagnosed with multiple myeloma a couple years ago. So he's 40 and saying he could, 6 years to live, and he could be less. So we're actually going to Boston next weekend for a walk. So just for prayers for safe travels there, and also prayers for his family. Thank you.
Prayers for his family as well. We also hold in prayer this week our brothers and sisters of Calvary St. Andrews Presbyterian Church as their congregation celebrated their final worship service and also celebration with the presbytery yesterday. So we pray for that community of faith. Any other hands? I've also got prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for candy and cookies and cake. All right. Prayers for time with family. Prayers for new clothes. For joy of seeing movies together. Prayers of concern for being tired. Amen. And having to go back to school. Yes, indeed. Let us continue our time of prayer together. Risen Lord, as this rising sun scatters the darkness, let fear and memory of failure be scattered from our souls, that we may live in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We raise up into your resurrection light all who are excluded from the fullness of life. Those who are feeling separated in relationships, in their communities, due to poverty or unemployment, injustice, neglect, homelessness, mental illness or disability. God, we keep trying to roll these stones back. We keep trying to separate ourselves from others. And God, we continue to look for your resurrection hope that moves those stones back. May we, individually and as a community, collectively be part of moving those stones, of sharing your peace and your love and your hope in this world. Risen Lord Jesus, let us be baptized by your resurrection light. May we trust in you above all else, hope in you above all else, seek you in all things, find you among all people, and know you through everything. We pray this in your name, living Lord, as you taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, share together and receive this morning's offering. I would also invite you, I know, pay attention here, something different, ready? I would invite you as you're passing that offering plate, or even if you don't pass it along all the way, just to turn to your neighbors during this time and say, peace be with you. Let us receive the morning offering.
elsewhere in your beautiful world. We send our gifts and blessings across our area. We send our prayers and gifts to those who would benefit across the globe. Please use our God-given gifts to uplift and help our brothers and sisters across the earth. We are truly grateful for your everlasting love and forgiveness. Amen.
Alleluia's continuing to ring in our hearts, in our ears, in our lives, and in this entire world. So go. Go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage from the Holy Spirit that it takes to get up and do it again and again. Celebrate resurrection. Alleluia. Amen.